Welcome to a different type of show with like-minded individuals that don't always see eye to eye.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
Free thinkers that stray away from the herd.
Drink that booze. Drink that booze.
Real topics, real discussions with real opinions.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
We might make you laugh. We might blow your mind. To some, this is groundbreaking. But to us, it's just another combo.
Well, hang on. We shouldn't be learning how not to get caught. We have to take responsibility for our actions.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, High C. You know what today is. It is Sunday. That means it is time for Just Another Convo. I'm live up in this bitch, as always, with my boy, the one they call the villain, my boy Johnny Christ.
What's up, man?
Not much, man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Spent the weekend doing a little, watching a little NFL draft, because that's my thing. I like it. Can't help it.
Oh, okay.
I'm a nerd.
I did not watch the draft. I was just a little too busy for all that.
Okay.
Had the DeSoto Day Parade yesterday.
I've seen some people snapping pictures of you. I've seen you on a few different platforms.
Oh, no shit. Oh, all right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Didn't know that. Yeah, that. And you can always tell the people that still fucking vibe with me. Because and this is not me being conceited or anything, you know, but it's like I must have seen about 100 people who knew me.
Yeah.
And, like, the people that are cool and vibing with me, they're all pointing, they're all waving, they're all showing me love. And the people that just, like old crab apple asses.
They know you, but they don't really give a fuck about you?
No. These are people that I've, like, spent time with. And they just kind of give me that look like,
what you do? How he get on that float?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fuck them.
Right. I just noticed, what the hell did you do to your knee? Holy shit.
You know, it happens.
No, it doesn't. Not without effort.
Or just being clumsy, trying not to fall in pools at work.
Did you fall in a pool at work? What? Really?
I didn't really fall into it. I avoided it.
Oh, all right.
Hence the
your body broke the fall?
Something like that. Had to pull the matrix, but it is what it is.
Oh, that's rough. Oh, fair enough, I suppose, then. Wow. Awkward. How the hell do you even do that? I mean, without talent, obviously.
Well, because we have pool cages we got to, like, sweep the spider webs out of, so you're kind of, like, looking up and not really necessarily paying attention where you're walking all the time. And
fuck that.
People have shit, and things happen.
Yeah, no. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We are going to be having a guest in a couple weeks.
Okay.
She is a girl in Bradenton who I knew back in the fatherless dad days of Da Vinci's.
Okay.
And she started a side business called Your Authentic Self.
Your Authentic Self. Okay, what's this?
I'm not quite sure. Like, it's got a catchy ring to it, so I want to... Like, she'll be in the studio with us.
Okay. We're going to find out together.
And we all going to find out together.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard
that. I like the name. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That the girl's name is Brianna.
Okay.
And so I've been in contact with her. So she's going to sit down and tell us what it means to be one's authentic self.
All right.
Which I definitely think is it's probably much needed in today's society. The week's been an absolute shit show. Absolute shit show. You got me getting into it on social media with somebody who's got almost a million followers on Facebook, which I understand it's not a lot considering the grand scheme of things, but none of you have 500,000 followers, so hush. Go sit down.
I don't even think I got three, but...
So this lady, this influencer, whatever, she made a post... And it was, no, she's taking it down, verbatim. Rule number one, bad Johnny, should have screenshotted it just so we don't F around and found out. But she had made a post basically saying, if you are okay with the Capitol riot that happened on January 6th, But you have an issue with the campus protests that are currently going on, then you're basically a hypocrite and all this other stuff, da-da-da-da-da, nonsense. So me being me, I'm just like, you're comparing apples and oranges. Everybody who's got a functioning prefrontal cortex thinks that what happened on January 6th was uncalled for. Didn't need to happen. But you have people on college campuses holding up signs, burning American flags, calling for the death of America. And yet you're going to link those two together because the people on college campuses, UC Berkeley, Columbia, Penn U, all of these high elite Ivy League schools are all in favor of Hamas, which is a terrorist organization who's at the forefront of the Israel-Palestine conflict that all of you are now magically freaking whiz kits on, that all of you are now wizarding scholars on. Meanwhile, you probably didn't spend a damn day in church. Don't even know where that comes from. But yeah, you have all the damn knowledge. Interesting. The look on your face says dumbfounded.
Well, I am. I mean, it's two different things. First off, what happened on January 6th was something that actually has to do with our country, which, whether you believe it was right or wrong,
right
at the time, you know, it was about time that some American citizens stood up for what the fuck they believe in our country.
Oh,
I mean, it's...
Boy, what's the matter with you?
We're so busy worried about everybody else's backyard. Meanwhile, our backyard looks like shit. We got Joe Biden sending over money to other countries damn near every other week. Meanwhile, we over here trying to figure out how the fuck we're going to get groceries next week because, hey, instead of sending money overseas, maybe we give everybody some fucking food stamps that you know, pay taxes or, you know, file taxes this year so they can freaking eat.
The issue you run into more often than not is what happened on January 6th, it was bad. These were not some idiots just trying to overthrow something.
But what I'm trying to get at is, though, it's like, it's almost like your boy Herm Edwards. Hello? Bro, do y'all not go to history class? Did y'all skip that? I skipped history. I skipped a lot of school in my days. And I still know that we bucked on the English government to become who we are.
Do you know why I say it's bad?
Do you think that that was the only time anybody's ever bucked on their government in the history of the world? Sorry, put the crack pipe down. You might want to go to coastal recovery. Like, I don't know what the hell you're thinking.
The issue with what January 6th is you have a bunch of people who have nothing else better to do with their time.
If you believe in the Bible, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, which we're going to get into that, Mr. Gospel Pounder. But people have to understand. Now, we could go into the nuances, you know, of election denials and how both sides have been doing that for years and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. You don't go and throw a fit. And that's exactly what January 6th was. It was a fit. It was a fit that didn't need to be thrown. You want to beat somebody? Beat him at the ballot box. That's how you do it. I got very quick off of the soapbox that the election was stolen because the man had his opportunity to prove that it was stolen. He had the opportunity. He went to illegal court proceedings. We heard for months, I've got the Kraken, da-da-da-da-da, produced nothing. Big nothing burger. And when that happened, everybody who thought for 2 seconds that the election was stolen from Donald Trump should have abandoned that damn idiocy, because if you got the goods, you could prove it.
Facts.
Just like if they had the goods, they'd have been able to prove that OJ did it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. So.
He had good lawyers. The glove didn't fit, so they had to acquit.
But. And if people want to make an argument about legal cases, okay, well, that's a secondary issue. That's got nothing to do with the price of tea in China. You can't compare a two-hour riot that was under control in under three, I might add, with one casualty to people on college campuses that, keep it in mind, they're paying to go there. These little spoiled, rotten little bastard kids, their parents are paying them and paying these schools $80,000 a year for them to have the ability to chant up and down that a terrorist organization is in the right. And fun hypothetical, take what's going on in the protest and switch it. Take out Hamas and interject any other marginalized group. See how long that protest lasts. 5 seconds. 5 seconds. But nope, it's been going on for days.
Well, Israel's supposed to be the Holy Land, according to the Bible.
According to the Bible. I don't know. It's not my bag.
So, according to the Bible, we're supposed to protect it, right?
I mean, if that's your bread and butter, sure. I can't use using religious argument to prove a point is a horrible argument, because you're bringing up something that is internally faith-based, meaning what you believe may not be what the next person believes. You have to have solid ground on any other way. That's why the abortion argument is so damn stupid. Oh, the Bible says this, and so-and-so says this, and it's not right to do this. Ugh. Making an argument for morality is quite possibly the lowest hanging fruit possible. Because how do you prove what somebody believes? Well, you can't.
That's why I don't really like the Bible to begin with.
I think it's a good metric. It's a good starting foundational groundwork.
It's a book. It's a book written by man. We don't know if God said these things directly.
It wasn't written by you, and it wasn't written by me, and it damn sure wasn't written by Carter.
But they also didn't have 2024 problems in 1800 BC either.
Right.
So, you know, the Bible could say this and this and this about abortion, but at the end of the day, they didn't have somebody in backwoods Alabama raping their daughter and getting them pregnant.
That part.
Or someone over in Chicago getting raped by some dude walking, you know, when they were just trying to walk home to their apartment, and bam, now they end up pregnant. So, I mean,
when the hell did, like, that? We have to address this just because your friend, now we're going to preface that, your friend's becoming awful vocal about things. Like, did he suddenly just have a bunch of time on his hands and just start reading stuff now?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to hear framework of arguments.
He has a girlfriend. He don't hang out that much no more.
Yikes.
He's like Justin Timberlake. Gone.
Oh, I thought he was going to say Cry Me a River.
No. Ain't no rivers crying. He's they got everything going on, but he don't come over no more, hardly.
Oh, that's how it goes. Guess that's the world, selfish.
He hit us with that, bye, bye, bye.
Oh, got in-synced with it,
too. He got in-synced with it.
But despite his best efforts to sound intelligent, I do agree.
With which part?
It is a guideline. A person's relief or a person's internal faith-based morality is a signed, or not a sign, but it is a barrier. It is a guideline. It's a foundation. So while everybody's on social media talking about God this and God that, even if I were a firm believer and bought into everything that you're saying, I couldn't buy into what you're saying, because I'm also a firm believer that everybody's religious experience and religious travel and journey is individually based.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning your experience is different than mine. Your communication with your higher power is different than mine. Well, why is it different? Because he'll say different things to you, won't he? He's not going to tell you. Same thing he might tell me.
True.
So when you have that individual program of my faith, my program, running my race, there you go.
Well, and he did have a pretty good point. I mean, he says it's a guide, not a set plan in life. So
right. When people on social media who are absolutely ignorant of the situation, when they're sitting there saying, free Palestine, free Palestine, guess what? We all agree. I don't see any of you saying free Palestine from Hamas. I don't see any of you saying free Palestine from the Palestinian Authority. Shut up.
Well, because they don't know. It's
correct.
They didn't
know that there hasn't been a person from Israel in the Gaza Strip since 06.
The fact of the matter is there may be a small percentage of people who actually know what the hell's going on over there. Unless you heard it on CNN or Fox News or something like that, which MSNBC, whatever they tell you is what you're going off of. You guys aren't in them streets. You guys aren't over there in Palestine finding out what's going on.
Right.
It's just like if me and you were walking through the mall or we're you know, walking through a parking lot and we see a man and a woman arguing.
Right.
We only know what we see or what we're being shown right then and there. We don't know the fuck-ups the man may have done before this escalated in front of us. We don't know the fuck-ups the female may have done before this escalated in front of us. All we know is what we're witnessing. We don't know the beef behind the scenes because at the end of the day, Hamas could have their story. The Palestinians could have their story. And somewhere in between lies the truth.
And the truth is simply this. And we won't spend a lot of time on it because that this is something that's over my head at times. Not a lot. If Hamas surrenders today, everything stops. Talk about a two-state solution. You can't have one so long as these terrorist organizations are in power. It's not an apartheid state because there are Palestinians who live in Israel. So hush. Become educated. Educate yourself. And stop co-signing. I never thought I'd live to see the day where we have people here in this country that not only are advocating for terrorist organizations, but they're also advocating for Osama bin Laden. Like, stop it. Like, you're a mess. But yet, you're going to tell me how you still think Hitler's bad. Okay, well, that makes a whole lot of sense.
In the words of En Vogue, free of mine.
And that ass will follow.
And the rest will follow.
So what's going on with Doja Cat?
Doja Cat is in...
Dojo!
She don't do karate, does she?
To me, it's Dojo. Her mama calls her Dojo, I'm going to call her Dojo.
She's in the news because...
Hell, what that mouth do?
She been... I wouldn't mind finding out. I wouldn't mind finding out a little bit of what that said mouth do. Other than talk a lot of shit. But she's in the news because she's released a string of tweets on X or whatever. I still call them tweets. I don't know what they're called. But it's on X, which used
to be Twitter.
So I'm going to call them tweets still. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to call it tweets.
But she's basically calling out parents. Like, why the fuck are you bringing your kids to my shows when I don't make kid-friendly music?
Say it again! Say it again for the people in the back!
Doja Cat wants to know why you raggedy-ass parents are bringing your children to her motherfucking shows when they ain't kid-friendly.
Hallelujah!
Can I get an amen on a Sunday?
Amen!
And in her string of tweets, she says,
yes, sir.
Rapping about eating dick and pissing on his V-cut. Leave your mistake at home.
Eating dick.
She wrote, I'm rapping about cum. Why are you bringing your offspring to my show?
Oh, God. Eating dick.
Then another one that she wrote was, I don't know what the fuck you think this is, but I don't make music for children, so leave the kids at home, motherfucker. This is reported by No Jumper. You know, they're in a lot of the you know, they keep up with all that stuff that's going on in like the music industry and
Doja Cat entertainment makes and stuff music like that for people that use sea warmers, you frying fish.
But she has a point. It's like, you know, listen,
Linda.
I don't have no kids, and I'm not one to really sit here and tell somebody how to parent their children.
You kind of do have kids.
But it makes sense. Like, you can't sit there and take your kids to go watch groups like the City Girls or Doja Cat or, you know, Sexy Red and wonder why your 13, 14-year-old daughter is coming home pregnant.
boy, this is a whole ass thing, but I'm glad somebody brought it up.
And she has a very, very good point. It's like, listen, I'm a dude.
Are you?
It wasn't like none of my uncles or my dad was taking me to go see Uncle Luke at freaking 12 years old. I mean, there's documentaries on it. I mean, he literally took a song, Born in the USA, and remixed it, Banned in the USA, because of his stuff that he was going through legally and different things like that. Like, there is just certain things. Like, at what point are we going to draw the line and, like, start policing parents and be like, yo, look, kids are kids. Like, you have to let them be kids.
No, I agree 100%.
Like, are we taking 10-year-olds on drive-bys in Compton? Hopefully not.
Yeah. I mean, I would certainly hope not.
I mean, there's certain grown-up things, and she has a very good point. Like, hey, I'm talking about this, that, and the other thing. You probably shouldn't bring your kid to my show. Just because on Wild 94.1, they're playing the edited version doesn't mean that that's how it's going to come out at the show.
Here we go, boy. Carter's on that political game again. This has got nothing to do with two fucking genders, dude. This has to do with common, relatively decent thinking parenting.
Yeah, what does the gender situation have to do with good parenting and not bringing your children?
It does require responsibility. I completely agree. There's a reason why you don't let your kids listen to that type of music. Okay? I get that they may think it's cool. Not that cool. Two, you got to ask yourself, where the hell are they picking it up from?
YouTube.
Right.
Everywhere.
Stop letting these damn phones raise your damn children.
Spotify, Pandora.
Stop letting the iPad. Stop letting Netflix and chill. Stop letting Amazon, Sling, Pornhub. Stop letting all this shit raise your kids. Be involved in your children's life. You can make a decision to not have that shit around in the house. And the hard part about it is when I was growing up, when you were growing up, back when our parents weren't fucking sniveling little children and sniveling little putois, I wasn't allowed to have no damn Dr. Dre CD up in my house. I wasn't allowed to have no damn Dr. Dre cassette tape up in my house. Oh, but me being a kid, I understand the kids are going to push back, America, okay? Because that's what kids do.
That's what we did.
They test authority. This is when you do, all right, ready for it? You double down. Uh-uh. When my dad told me not to do something, I did it. I got my ass whooped for it.
So listen, I'm going to go right there, right along with you. So one of my friends lived in the next street
over.
It's
not about shielding your kids.
Shout out to my boy Gid.
Oh, Gid?
My boy Jeremy had an older brother, Devon. Devon was, you know, he was like the older brother. He was able to go to the music store. He would always have like all the new CDs and tapes out.
Specs music.
All that good stuff. So we would take his CDs and dub them on tape. And we'd pass them out to the homies.
Yeah, we did that.
So one of my boys
put the tape over.
Got caught. No, we just use blank tapes and record the songs and then flip it over.
Oh, you guys weren't really that ghetto. I would take cassette tapes that I don't listen to anymore and put scotch tape over the top, and then I would record it.
That's that throwback. No, we were doing like real, you know, tapes. So my boy Larry got caught because I had gave him a tape of the Snoop Dogg.
Oh, doggy style. Hey, ain't no fun if the homies can't have done.
His mom called my dad because he told his mom he got the shit from me.
Oh, he snitched on you.
I got an ass whooping.
Oh, man.
So I made up a fake name and said I got it from some kid at school because I didn't want to get my boy in trouble because I done already got in trouble and he done already got in trouble. So ain't no sense for all of us to get in trouble because I'm still trying to make tapes later on.
Maybe your boy Larry should have learned that.
Maybe he should have. Shout out my boy Man. But, at the end of the day,
tattletale.
You know, we were listening to stuff, and you know, Danielle has a very good point. She's like, you can't shield your kids from the crazy world, but it's up to the parents to acknowledge what's right and what's wrong.
And there's a difference between acknowledging and damn right playing into it.
Yeah, and you know, I think a part of the problem is with parents is you got to understand your kids can't be your friend till they're grown. When they're kids, they need to be kids, and you need to be the enforcer.
Yes.
You need to be the Warren G, a.k.a. regulator of the situation.
Yes.
Then, when they're 20s and their 30s, then you can be friends with your child then.
Oh.
Now, when they're mature.
Say it again.
But, yeah, maybe taking your 12-year-old daughter to go see Doja Cat
may not be
the best move.
Yeah, you're a pretty crap parent, man.
Maybe taking your 13, 14-year-old daughter to go see the City Girls and, you know, Sexy Red Live might not be the best move.
I'm just going to keep it 100.
Unless you're trying to be a grandma already.
If you got churn of that age and they're under, say, 15, and you took them to go see City Girls or Doja Cat or Sexy Blue Red, you're a horrible parent. I don't care how that sounds. You're a bad parent because you're letting them feed into this delusion that women objectivity only revolves around their ability to look like a streetwalker.
Mm.
And I understand that sounds very, very 1950s biblical. I get that.
Not really. It sounds pretty on point for 2024.
Well,
you kept a little PC, but yeah, they get the picture.
And it's like, on the same token,
don't get me wrong, I love how Doja Cat dresses.
We're
going to
spread it all the way across the board because I don't feel that this is an isolated incident. Don't be letting your children listen to rock music that's jacked up like that. There's no reason for them to be listening to porn star dancing. There's no reason to be them, you know, them little tendencies. You know, like, none of this. Like, have some common sense. And I get that in 2024, it's a little uncommon to have common sense. Facts.
But shout out to my boy Perry chiming in. He says everything starts at home, and that's true. And when the home's pretty much feeding into it.
Right.
You know, all you can do is pray.
But I'm going to grant a little bit of leniency. I'm going to grant a little more leniency than most of the world is willing to. Right now, there's somebody listening to this show whose parents do their best. They try their ass off. They do everything you're supposed to do. But they can't be at home because they're busy providing. And they're working two jobs. And they're going to school on top of working two jobs. And they don't have time to have real discussions with their kids. Because from start to go, every damn day, twice on Sunday, they're on the move.
Yeah.
They wake up at 6. They got the kids out of the door by 6:30. They drop them off before 7 so they can be to work by 7:30. And then they're working until 2, and then they got to go work the other job. And then they've got night school and all this other stuff. I'm all in favor of men or women setting goals and accomplishing them. I'm in favor of them doing it by any means necessary.
But just going to have a conversation.
It shouldn't be at the expense of the morality of your children. Because your ass is old. You're going to pass. You're going to go. And all you're going to have is your kids. And what you teach them matters more than the money you bring or don't have when you leave this world. Thank you.
Shout out to John Brown. Yes, they definitely don't need to be listening to Drake's Hands on Your Knees. With Sexy Red, by the way.
Drake's.
Let that. Why are you going to breathe?
Drake's Hands on Your Knees is this generation's nothing but a G thing.
Nah.
Don't. Or OPP.
OPP better.
Yeah.
But it's.
Because they're a little bit more
explicit
with it.
I would say more explicit than OPP, though, because OPP kind of like hinted at it, but I would say it's more like on the Two Live Crew tip.
Well, yeah, the freaking Two
Live.
It's
more like Pop That Coochie.
Pop That Coochie.
That's really what it is. This generation's Pop That Coochie.
Well, and there was something. There's something.
I mean, it's catchy. I like it in the club.
Intelligence.
It's a bar.
There's something intelligent about being able to say the quiet part without having to actually say it. Are you a wordsmith to where you can
hit it on every run without blatantly having to call it. Too short set of pants. I quit rapping because I can only think of so many new ways to tell a girl to suck my dad.
Yeah.
That's another one. Too short made his living on young boys buying his music that was revolved around the idea of treating women like objects and telling them to suck a dick.
Mm-hmm. If you watch Hip Hop Evolution, there's one of the episodes is about the Bay Area, and it's about E-40 and guys like Too Short, and he pretty much, you know, evolved, because back then those black films like the Mac and Superfly and all that were real popular. Yeah. So he started rapping about, you know, pimping and all that stuff, and he made the Freaky Tales, or he had made the song, how he did the song Cocktails, where these are the tales, the Freaky Tales, and he's like naming all the girls. Well, allegedly early in his career, one of his mixtapes that he made that he would sell on the streets, everybody was talking about how Too Short was a hustler, and he was talking about how and one of his lines, he said that he fucked 13 girls or something on the back of one of the buses. So the Freaky Tales was the tale of those 13 girls who he smashed. So that's how he did that. I mean, you know,
Tina, the spinal cleaner.
Yeah. So Too Short was definitely not what we needed to be listened to when we were freaking 13, 14 years old. Yes, we found a way to find it. Like Danielle said, you can't shelter your kids from the world because the kids will find a way to do it. But you cannot take us to Too Short concerts, which our parents didn't do.
A funny thought and something for everybody to think about.
Everybody say, hey, we want some. Hey.
How many of you all looked at your parents when you were 13, 14, 15?
Yes.
And ever uttered the phrase, y'all just don't get it.
No, no fun.
We are slowly becoming our parents in that retrospect when it comes to music. Every generation blames the one before. And it's absolutely hysterical because we're over here, we're all complaining about freaking Doja and Sexy Red and stuff like that. But meanwhile, we were listening to stuff like that. We were listening to 3-6 Mafia. If we're talking about ass and titties, we were talking to
Slop on my mouth.
Yeah, we were.
But in our defense, now, but in my defense, when 3-6 Mafia came out with that song, I was already out of high school.
Right. But a lot of these people, because of the fact that men like, you know, having their relations with the meow meow, and women like Dougie.
But if you in Florida,
they got more than one.
If you live in Florida, there ain't no way you can't tell me you ain't never got no mixtape from one of the DJs around here. Jam-A-Lot, I'm gonna throw some people out there. Jam Pony Express. Y'all done have some Uncle Luke on y'all shit. Y'all done have some 2 Live Crew. We were able to get them tapes, but at the same time, the parents weren't taking us to the actual concert. We weren't going to see Uncle Luke with his group of strippers on the freaking thing, popping that pussy and stripping on the stage.
El chimed in with, the reality is we didn't know. Imagine that. They don't know now either. Let me tell you a story that quite possibly got my ass in a whole shitload of trouble. When I was in 5th grade, we just moved. I was living on Osprey Avenue behind Morton's Market. Doesn't look anything like it does now. There was this channel that was on Comcast. My friend and I, his name is Joey Pratt.
I think I know what channel you're talking about.
There was a channel that was like zero or 99.
Where you could order the songs?
You could order the songs.
I knew what you were talking about. Damn, dog. You aged us right quick, dog. Stop. Stop this story.
We must have put about $300 worth of things like Bushwick Bill and all that crazy shit on there.
Yeah, it was like MTV. For those of you who might not know what we're talking about, it was like MTV. It was like an MTV jukebox.
Yeah.
Like, you could pay to get whatever music video you wanted to see, and it was like, they're like a dollar or something like that.
Yeah, which at the time was a lot. Because that shit came up quick. And
they had like a little number you would call, and you would, like, each video had like a, for this video, hit star 27, and it would play like you said, like, it would play like the 2 Live Crew video, or the Ghetto Boys, or Bushwick Bill.
And I bring this up to go back to the job thing because my mother worked.
Did they have that job at Philly Carter?
Like that. My mom works until 7 o'clock, like every day. When I tell you that, I was in the streets, like not like the streets, but I was never home. I was over at a friend's house, always. I was running amok. I was doing shit.
I remember I used to sit down at my boy Caddy Day's house, and we would watch that channel, waiting for people to pay for music videos to come on so we can watch the music video
it's
too.
It's a lot easier today for kids to grab information. We didn't have Pornhub.
Matter of fact, one time
we had Skinamax where we had to try to make out a boob because we were broke and we couldn't afford Showtime and shit like that. Yeah.
Now I remember one time we were doing the science experiment where you take the egg and put it in vinegar.
Yeah.
It turns into rubber.
Yep.
We were waiting on that to happen, and we're sitting there, like watching that channel as this whole thing's taking place. Like kind of like we're trying to like watch to see how long to see the transformation of the egg inside the freaking.
That man said, "Watch Rump Shaker," man. Yeah.
Yes, Rump Shaker used to be on there.
And the
a million
favorite
times.
Time of year for a boy that was in middle school.
All I want to do is a
zoom. Was when zoom. Showtime gave out their free week.
Yes.
Because we knew what time it was.
10 o'clock is on.
That's it. It's a different time. And I say that not to encourage people to educate kids as opposed to correct them, but just remember, don't be that parent. The parent is not doing better than your parents did. If your parents were shitheads, well then guess what? Yeah, you're kind of supposed to be better. But don't leave out the stuff that your parents did give you that caused you long-term effects. And that's not being there. Educating your kids. Letting them know what it is. Be smarter than your parents were. But don't forget that there were probably some good things that your parents taught you. Hell, freaking Elle is a prime example. Like she hangs out with her mom. Like, hangs out. Like, they all bullshit.
They look like Mars and Noble.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far because, like, her mom's significantly shorter.
Okay.
Like a foot.
What's that going to do with Barnes & Noble?
No, like that meaning you can evolve a teaching relationship into a great relationship, and then you can progress together. When they say things like it takes a village to raise a child, it does.
You know, Carter's last comment here really explains a lot. He says, "Pops had the hookup on the chipped cable box."
Oh.
You were bougie.
Yeah, first off, yeah, that guy sitting there spending $100 on a box.
Second of all,
my brother had one of those boxes.
That explains a lot about you, Chris Carter. Explains a lot about you. You was... Carter may be the example of why you shouldn't take your kids to Doja Cat.
Yeah. But it's like I see great examples of good parenting all the time, and that's not saying that all parents are fucked up.
No,
but we would be remiss if we didn't at least say some of them are.
Shit, I don't know what some of these parents do because what concerts ain't cheap no more. How the fuck
you
take your kids to the damn Doja Cat concert? Shit.
I often ask myself that because looking back, I've been to easily, probably close to 6,000 concerts, probably. I've seen everything. Like, I'm so damn old, I went to Genesis and they did 2 songs and that was the concert.
Oh, hell no, I'd be starting a motherfucking riot.
Well, Phil Collins was deathly freaking ill. He was really, really sick. And they never did get a chance to come back. But my first concert was in 89 or 90 at the old Raymond James Stadium when it was the Big Sombrero. Paul McCartney from the Beatles. It's my first concert ever.
That's probably a pretty good first concert.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, oh, that's shit. Yeah, but it's like, I've seen everybody. I've seen Pink Floyd. I've seen Aerosmith a handful of times. I've seen Kiss. I've seen Motley Crue. I've seen Uncle Luke. I've seen Plies. I haven't seen a whole lot of country concerts, though, I'll be honest. Like, I've only been to, like, 2.
I don't think I've been to one. Well, I mean, well, I guess...
I went to Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band when I first got out of rehab and I met this girl, and it was like I never left her house. I was one of those fuck boys.
I seen Taylor Swift when she was more on the country tip than the pop tip.
Oh, that's wow. Now who's dating who?
And Ed Sheeran opened up for her.
The ginger.
Nah, come the on. Only ginger was Soul.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And it was when he only had the A-Team song out. It was before that, the one where
he said... way before Shivers.
Yeah. It was way before all that stuff he got saying.
Like, I feel very bad for Ed Sheeran because he looks like the kid who got his lunch money taken. Like, he really looks like that kid. He looks like the kid that would get jacked up.
Probably
and
did.
Get his stuff taken from him.
Depends what school he went to.
Yeah.
If he went to Riverview, he was probably straight.
Yeah, he was probably straight.
If he went to Booker, he definitely got his lunch money, too.
Yep, or Venice.
I feel like he might have been safe in Venice.
No, we were not safe in Venice. Right. Nobody was safe in Venice. I know. But shout out to my boy Coach Dombrowski, retiring. Awesome.
Awesome. Chris Flick said, what y'all know about the OG DirecTV with the 6-foot dish?
My dad had one. Like, if they had phones... that had, like, pictures on it. It was in the corner of my dad's backyard because he bought a pack of property in Northport, and it was before it became developed. Like, you got off at Toledo Blade to be that first right on North Granberry. His house was the first house on the right, and that was probably 3 miles down the road. Yeah, bass fucking dish in the back, and you had to go to, like, their version of the guide, and you had to plug in the number, and when you hit enter, you could see the dish move
to pick up the
reception. Like, what is that?
That's some throwback satellite dishes.
That was when, like, Cartoon Network, like, didn't have any of these new shows. They had all the throwback ones, and it was literally, they had an entire schedule of Flintstones, Jetsons, Storks.
Like all that stuff.
They didn't have...
all the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yep. They didn't have Adult Swim. They had Tex Avery and Hanna-Barbera.
Damn, my boy Flick went there.
Yeah, he did. Jeez, man. That's like the all-night skates.
If somebody had that in their yard, you knew they had money.
That's it, yeah. That was literally like the equivalency of the all-night skates at Stardust.
Oh, yeah. All-night skate was the shit.
Boy, I got into more fights there.
Bro, I never got into a fight at all my skate.
Well, because it was like, I wasn't a good skater. So any kid that would start talking crap, like, I always, like, I treated my life in a very formatic fashion. Like, all right, first hour to 2 hours, we'll skate. After that, we'll ditch the skates and we'll hang out and chill. And little punks would be running their freaking mouth. So when it came time to turn the skates in for me, because I operated on time, and they'd be running on by, I tripped the shit out of them. And boop!
Okay.
Because I did martial arts.
I was too busy trying to beat Ninja Turtles.
I loved Ninja Turtles. That, like you had Ninja Turtles, and then you had The Simpsons next to it,
yep.
And then you had WrestleMania on the other side of it.
Those are the three games right there.
That's it, yeah. And you did nothing, but you took your little $20 and you kept getting gyros and whatnot.
Yep. They used to have them slices of pizza.
Yeah, way back in the day. But if you didn't get there, like, right when it hit, you were SOL.
Yeah, you got to get that fresh.
And they could never figure out the best way to serve up the food. Because they would always do it at, like, the worst time. Like, I'd be waiting for, like, the couple skate song so I could go run over and go get some. By the time that happened, I didn't have nothing.
Yeah, I get you. Because you are going to spend on the video game.
Yes, Chris, we know you're the real, you're the last Ronin, for God's sakes. Crying out loud.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have. Carter says, I put a few G's in those games.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Ninja Turtles definitely made a good, pretty penny off of me, that's for sure.
They got a guy that's out in, what is it? Not Newport Richie, but around that area. And he makes custom arcade games.
Really?
Like, big stacks, like stack games. And you can have, like, 4,000 games on there.
Nice.
You can have all that shit.
That's what's up.
You can have all that shit.
Even those for the man cave.
Yeah. If you've got a couple grand to drop, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah, that sounds dope.
I found a freaking plug-in thing. It goes to your HDMI, and that comes with like 40,000 games.
Damn.
For like $70.
Yeah, that's
nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Which is, you get like a little controller plug-in?
No, it comes with it.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, that's great. I got all these other games, but I could really only care less about like everything, but like three of them are. I am interested in the rest. Is like, eh.
Which ones are you playing right now?
Punch Out, Super Punch Out, Technical.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't get down with no Excitebike?
I do like Excitebike. That and Paperboy.
I find myself getting onto some Star Fox every now and then.
See, now I wasn't a huge Star Fox guy. F-Zero, I do like F-Zero.
Okay.
F-Zero is dope.
Flick said there's a dude down in Northport that makes them too.
Yeah, but not on that level, Flick. Like, this dude up in the freaking Newport Ridge is doing, like, he's with, like, everybody on TV.
Okay.
Like, he did Rhea Ripley's and Buddy Matthews's big-ass freaking console and stuff.
Okay.
And, like, the graphics come custom. Like, they teamed up with my boy who's over in the UK named Black Mass Designs, and he designs them custom.
Okay.
For all of them. Like, it's wild. It's
that's
wild shit. Oh, yeah, look, that's cool. Huh, but send me that guy's info, and if he's cheaper, hey, dollars make sense.
Dollars do make sense.
I got nothing else. What about you?
Me neither.
Yeah, I got a community line dance thing I got to do.
Nice.
No, it's not. It's not nice.
Two left feet, baby.
Hey.
Well.
Boots, scoot, and boogie, baby.
Boots, scoot, and boogie.
How?
Hopefully y'all have a great Sunday.
And if not, that's your own damn fault.
I'm your boy, Hasi. From my boy, the villain, Mr. Johnny Christ.
Yes, sir.
This has been just another convo. Peace out.
See, you heard.